Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good to be with you again. You can turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 5. We will continue to look at the fruit of the Spirit, verses 22 through 24 of Galatians 5. There we read, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." This is God's word. Amen. So we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We started this series 2 weeks ago looking at each of the fruit of the Spirit as we prepare our hearts for confession in this part of the service. And the first week, I laid down four principles that I want to review briefly with you about the fruit of the Spirit once again. The first principle is that the fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit. The Spirit is at work in the hearts of those who are Christ's to change them, to transform them into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And therefore, without the work of the Spirit, we can't have these things. Secondly, the fruit of the Spirit can only flow from our union with Jesus Christ. Christ told us, apart from me, you can do nothing. If we do not abide in the vine, then we cannot have these fruit in our life. Principle number three, it's our responsibility to pursue and to develop these things. The Scriptures command us in every single one of these areas to walk by the Spirit, and therefore we must seek to do these things. The fourth principle was that the fruit of the Spirit is fruit singular. That is, these are all part of one fruit that is given to us. All of these things should be characteristic of the Christian whom the Spirit is working in. And so today we look at the second item in the list, which is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. In Romans 14, Paul describes what kingdom life looks like, what it should look like. He says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Now note here, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. The Holy Spirit creates all of these things. It creates that righteousness, that peace, that joy that is in the church. Now as we look at these fruit of the Spirit, as I said I think last time, we need to be really grateful for the work of the Spirit that we do see amongst us, right? And there are many among you here that I greatly appreciate your joy. It is very helpful to me to see that joy on a Sunday or any other day that I see you, because it creates more joy in me and reminds me that there is many reasons for me to be joyful. And so this is an important thing that we encourage one another in the joy that we do have, that we note it in others. Tell people you're thankful for their joyfulness. So what is joy? I like to provide definitions, at least for myself, because it helps me to wrap my head around these things a little bit more clearly. And here's my definition. Joy is a Holy Spirit-produced delight for good, accompanied by thankfulness. Now, the supreme good thing, or good person, is God Himself. Therefore, our joy, this Holy Spirit-produced delight, must be a joy that is based in God and also accompanied with thankfulness. Without thankfulness, we're not going to be joyful, because there are hard times that we go through, brothers and sisters, and if we're not thankful during those times, it's going to be really hard for us to be joyful. So why aren't we joyful like we should be? If the Holy Spirit is at work in us, why is it that we sometimes lack the joy that we should have and so often desire? Well, there's three particular stumbling blocks that I noticed from Scripture. And the first stumbling block to joy is sin in our lives. Sin hurts the joy that we have. You remember when David confessed his sin in Psalm 51, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." David wants this joy back, this joy that comes from the salvation that he had, but the joy had been sapped because of what he had done. Because he had sinned against the Lord, his joy had been diminished. And so as we confess our sins today, we also ask Oh God, restore to me the joy of this salvation. If there is not this joy in me that there should be as a result of what you have done in my life, I pray that you would restore it to me. Notice also Psalm 32, the same thing. When he's confessing, he says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old. Through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. He feels as if he is in the desert, and he is without water, unable to get the refreshment that he needs and the joy that he needs. But when he confessed, when he acknowledged his iniquity, there was this return of joy that came. So that's the first one that sometimes saps and diminishes our joy, is sin in our lives. Second one is, joy can be sometimes placed in the wrong things. A misplaced joy is a joy that won't last. That is to say, if we are joyful because of all of our circumstances, because of all the things we have, because of the relationships that we have, when any of those things go south, our joy goes with it. And Scripture tells us to rejoice in the Lord. If you rejoice in the Lord is the one thing that won't change, right? Inevitably, the other things that we rest in will let us down. We will let ourselves down. People will let you down. The things that you have will let you down. The government will let you down. All of these things will let us down, and all of these things will diminish our joy, but God will never let you down, brothers and sisters. Remember what the psalmist did in Psalm 42. He said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? And he said, hope in God. Not hope in these other things. There's no hope to be found in these other things. It's hope in God. And this is where we must find our joy and base our joy. Consider the words of the hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. This is the solid rock upon which our joy can be built. The third stumbling block to joy is trials in our lives. And this is just an honest admission that sometimes trials are hard. By nature, they're hard, and we'll have much to say about this later in the sermon. But trials are difficult to endure. They feel hard. They're painful. And so, even though trials aren't bad for us, nevertheless, they do sometimes take away our joy. They do diminish our joy. And that is why James says in James 1, again, we'll look at that later, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He tells us to count it joy because naturally you're not going to count it joy. It's not going to naturally feel joyful unless there is a counting, a reckoning that takes place in the trial. And again, what takes us through the trials? What helps us to have joy in the trials? It is the goodness and faithfulness of God. Lamentations 3, remember how dire Lamentations is. Just read through Lamentations, all five chapters, and you see the sadness, the mourning, the grief that the writer was going through as he considered the destruction of Jerusalem. But there are those little faint glimmers of hope. In Lamentations 3, it says, the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. The Lord, though he cause grief, will not cast us off. Though he bring trials to our life, he is there with us through them, and he will grant us that joy that we so desperately need in those trials. So as we think about these three stumbling blocks, let us also think about which of these affects me greatly at this moment in my life. And we may confess these things to God, that God, I lack this joy, I need the joy of my salvation. Restore to me this joy of salvation. And God promises that he will give us this joy. You know that benediction that we've been hearing at the end of the service, right? It talks about joy. Jude 1. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. This is the God whom we worship, and this is the God who will give us that exceeding joy. Let us pray. O God in heaven, we ask that you would restore to us the joy of our salvation. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in us to have great joy, that it would come from a recognition of who you are and what you have done for us in Christ, and that when these stumbling blocks to joy come into our lives, may we transcend them by looking to you. May we rest our joy not in our situation, our attainments, our relationships, but ultimately in you, who will never let us down. And now we do take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.